Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to
you. Father, we thank you for the blessing you give to us today. We are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated for a moment. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Amen. Did you hear that? The mystery of his will. What is a mystery? What is a mystery? A mystery is something that you don't understand. Isn't it? So we say, the mystery of the missing bag. The mystery of the missing boy. The mystery of the stolen cow. Like, how can a cow disappear? Like, that means that there are things you don't know about. Maybe there are people who can carry a whole cow. Do you get what I'm saying? Or maybe there's a slaughterhouse nearby that you don't know about. I mean, all kinds of possibilities. So that is what the will of God is about. Ephesians 1 verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. The mystery of his will. Now, Deuteronomy 29 verse 29. What does it say? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. All right? There are some things that God doesn't share with us. Yes, he doesn't tell us. They are secrets. But those things that are revealed, okay, belong to us and to our children forever. So what does it mean? It means God has given us some things to know, but he has kept some things back from us. There's something they call Chinese wall security. When you have a group of people, this one knows this. This one knows this. This one doesn't know what this one knows. This one knows this. Doesn't know what this one knows. This one knows this, but doesn't know what this one knows. So you are surrounded by people who, this one knows this, but doesn't know this. This one knows this, doesn't know this. This one knows it, doesn't know this. And we are all standing there. Everybody has a secret. Chinese wall security. Kaba Shakaya. So God shows us some things. The secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that are revealed to us belong to us. So God's will for our lives is not completely revealed to us. In fact, it's not revealed. It's not revealed. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. We are going to pray for just a few minutes, but I want us to pray on this beautiful topic of the will of God. Amen. Now, what did God say to Abraham? Abraham, get out of your country. Get from your kindred. Get from your father's house. Unto where? A land I will show you. Huh? Can you imagine somebody telling you, go to the airport. Go and catch a flight to the country I will tell you. So you pack your bags and you start moving. To where? To where you will be told. That is how the will of God is. So the secret things belong to God. But the one that was revealed to Abraham was pack your bags, leave your father's house, leave your country, leave your relatives, what you know, and go to a land that I'm not telling you where that one, I'm not telling you where it is. So I believe that God, in his wisdom, has kept certain things from us. One of the things that God has kept from us is the day we will die. And you know, that is kindness. Because if you know you are going to die on Tuesday, how can you be happy today? Do you think you'll be happy today? If you are going to die this month, and God shows you it's this month, or it's this year, when 31st December comes, and you know that I'm entering the year that I will die, I don't think you can even be happy. So, God hasn't revealed to us the day that we will die, and it is for our own good. But he says to us, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Amen. So we are expected in Amos 4:12, he says, prepare to meet thy God. So we are supposed to be prepared all the time to meet our God. Amen. Now, I know a church where, I don't know if it is true, but that's what I heard, that if you are not 70 and you die, they will not bury you because they say you didn't have faith. But you see, I'll tell you, you cannot say that. Why? Jesus was not 70. Jesus was 30, 33. John the Baptist was about 30. John the Baptist was a few months older than Jesus. And he died early in the ministry of Jesus. Yeah. And Jesus ministered for 3 years. So John the Baptist was just 29, 30 when he died. And Jesus said, he's the greatest of all men that have been born from a woman. So it's mysterious. Abraham was 99 years old when he had a child. I'm sure he died by 100 and something. Methuselah was 965, I think, when he died. Meanwhile, we don't know any important thing that he did. Do you know any important thing that Methuselah did? We just know that he was old. Isn't it true? So it's very, very important that we accept the mysterious nature of God's will, and that some things are mysterious. If you don't accept it, you one day get angry with God. And you say, ah, but God, I prayed. Oh God, but I trusted you. Oh God, but I did this. But you see, we do all that, but there are things that we don't know. Yes. You see, one lady, she said, you know me, I kept myself, I was a virgin. I didn't sleep with anybody. I didn't do this, I didn't do this. Now I got married and I couldn't be pregnant. And those who have been to every little kiosk, chop bar, everywhere. They are rather being pregnant and crying in the house that their pregnancies are too many. Don't talk like that. How many want to be angry with God? How many have ever been angry with God? Okay, I'll also confess. Yeah. But I realize that a person can be offended by God. And you have to be very careful of that. You must not allow what seemed to be a disappointment in your life to make you angry with God. Because Deuteronomy 29 verse 29 says that there are some things that are secrets that God knows. And you think you know everything about Ghana? One day I was going somewhere, just here in Accra, and I missed the turning. So I was turning my car around, and the road, there was a small, you just go inside small, there was a gate there. So I went in slowly, and I was there. When I went in, some people came out of the house, I mean the gate. Hey, no, go, don't come. I said, why? I'm turning, what is the problem? No, go. So I turned and I went. I realized that there was something strange about that house. Something strange. So later I passed the house again and I saw it looks a bit strange to me. There's some light there. And then there's no way to see inside. So one day I was with somebody who has worked at certain places before. And he told me that there is a house. There are soldiers, they move from Burma camp. They keep arms there. It's like a type of Burma camp, but it is in the midst of people's houses. You will not know that it is for. It's like if there is a, you see, because if, before we used to have coup. When you take Burma camp, you take airport, you have won, you announce, the ranks have taken over the country. Ladies and gentlemen, they will start playing. Then you know that there's a new government. You've not had a coup before, you see. No, that's how it is. They have military music. When you wake up in the morning, the radio is playing. Then somebody will come. This is Sergeant so-and-so. Announcing all MPs must report to Nima Police Station, Cantonment Police Station. All district directors of this should be at. Hey! That's how a coup is. So they move. So apparently there are arms, soldiers and other things there. You didn't know, isn't it? So the secret things belong to the Lord. So the guy told me, so I asked him that, where is that? Tell me, show me where one of those houses is. Then he described exactly to, I said, that is why when I was turning there, the people were saying, I should go. So there are secrets that don't belong to ordinary people. It's for higher people in the government. Do you understand? So in the government of God's kingdom, there are some secrets you can't ever understand what is going on. But you are supposed to flow, isn't it? And just accept that. So let us stand to our feet for a few moments and pray. Hey, maybe your wife is sitting by you, but you don't even know her. Maybe your future husband is standing right behind you. But it's a secret. Lift your hands, everybody, and let us pray. Now listen, excuse me. Why is it important to pray for the will of God? If you can, I can give you two reasons. But the best reason is because Jesus prayed for it. If it will happen, then why did Jesus pray? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Huh? So it means that it's possible that it may not be done. So let us pray that the will of God will be done in our lives. By all means. Amen? Amen. Lift your hands. Father, thank you. Kama shandola bakabaranda la baba. Oh yes, we give you praise. We give you glory.
Jesus.
We give you thanks.
Yes.
Mashandola makabaranda.
Ramakato rabakata.
Leiro momo la
mada. Demvida bakasora madivela mo.
Hayama dala mama.
Randa bakato rababa. Devina musaria bakota. Lembre de libo, sharama dibe de keta, rabadabia, zonda bakanto rabadia, remenekiza vamo, shandere bene meketando lomo, rabadile mele, rando kasora madili e berenova, malochi ke maradaba mino jebe baradie, Rabakaso, Rabati Beleme, Rabakatoma, Mijemelevina, Lambro Canto Zembele di Manamo, Zorabaleta will of God be done, Rabba, Dakaso Rabba, Riapakasha, Rabakasha, Lipa Coriali,
let thy will be done,
Rebedekasura Bayantan,
let thy will be done,
Serina Macapariano, Jimene Ketaria, Barada Babiliaba.
Hallelujah.
What you have accomplished. Thank you for blessing us and answering our prayers. Now lift your hand.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you are afraid of in the future.
Yes.
Fear of tomorrow. Fear of the unknown. Fear of death. Fear of curses. Fear of accidents. Fear of death. It is a spirit. Begin to bind every type of fear in your life. Fear of tomorrow.
In the name of
fear
Jesus.
Of the future.
Yes.
Fear of the devil.
Yes.
Fear of witchcraft.
Yes.
Fear of works of darkness.
Yes.
Fear of death.
Yes.
Fear of accident. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We reject every spirit of fear.
In the name of Jesus.
Bind spirit of fear.
Randa bakashara
daba. Jesus name.
Ora bakashara
daba kabala.
Lere bere ke shakori
daba 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 daba.
Papari o.
Rio
bere bere o. Rakomo
rio. Listen,
Jesus. Hey,
there are two things we are going to bind. You know, the Bible says, "Whatever you bind."
Hallelujah.
The word "bind" means to fasten.
Hallelujah.
The chains.
Yes.
It's bound in heaven.
Yes.
There are two spirits.
Oh.
Many of the spirits
Iramonotaka.
Are just like animals. That is why all through the Bible. You see, devils being described as animals, like the serpent, the dragon, flies, frogs, is in the Bible. Even death.
Yes.
So I saw a horse, a pale horse, and the name of the rider was Death. So it's a horse and a rider, the Death. Now there's a spirit that surprises you,
hey,
And that is the crocodile or the dragon. A dragon is a modern type of crocodile. Crocodile is like a modern dragon. But the crocodile, alligator, it lies as if it's a log. Mm. Then suddenly, it springs. Lift your hand. Whatever demonic surprise is targeted at you,
Jesus,
we block it. We bind it.
We bind in the name of Jesus.
Vision. I was sitting on a rock in the water. Have you seen a shark? What is a shark? when it's passing by, you just see the top, the fin at the top there. Those of you who have watched Jaws, have you watched that film Jaws? You can watch it. It's not bad. It's an old film. Then I saw a shark come to pass silently, just near me, and was going. And then the Lord whispered in my ear, "Have you seen a silent killer? Have you seen a silent killer? Doesn't make any noise at all, but will kill you silently. And there are many silent killers. Many diseases are like that. They are silent. It will kill you silently and you are gone. And many things have that nature. Today, whatever represents a shark or a silent killer of your life,
Jesus,
lift your hand and curse it and reject any form of silent disease, silent attack of the enemy against your life. In the name of Jesus.
Liria Bakosha Rabataya. Mandere Bekesha Rabataya. Mandere Nebechuna Mayakapaya.
We fight. Now, silent killers. Everybody here, check your blood pressures, cholesterol. They are all silent things. Breasts, lumps, and all other form of silent killers. Now, I want us to bind
Jesus.
Another spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible says five of the virgins
yeah.
were foolish and five were wise. Mm. And because of the foolishness, they lost
yeah.
their lives
yeah.
in the ability to make it to heaven.
And
the Bible says the five were wise. The Greek word is phronimos.
Mm.
That means practical wisdom.
Hallelujah.
They were practical.
Yes.
You see, when you are spiritual, it doesn't mean that you are not practical. When Ghana was playing, I think Cote d'Ivoire, some years ago, they won penalties. Everybody played the penalty. I think 11 penalties. The goalkeeper, I think, of Cote d'Ivoire had put a glove inside the net. And people said that the glove was keeping the balls from going in. Let me tell you, even if it is the case, I don't know. But they do a lot of juju and other things when they are playing. But a white man, he doesn't do all this. Practical wisdom. During halftime, they put them on drips. You see them having drips. They are giving them glucose and other high energy vitamins on IV infusions. Yes. And you see that when they are playing with Africans, we are like nothing. Yes, if it wasn't that they were doing equality to add more African teams, like we will not go to World Cup at all. Nobody will go. No way. That's why it was such a big thing for us to beat Uruguay, because it would have been the first African team to go to semifinals. Practical wisdom. Five were wise. Five were foolish. Not that five were spiritual and five were not spiritual. Five were wise. Five were foolish. Five were practical. Practical things. Whatever represents foolishness in you, we are binding it today. Because it is an evil spirit. It is an evil spirit when we are not realistic and practical. Lift your hands. Matemoka yamoka tabara bala mashomba sabera la makabaya. Every type of foolish, every variant of foolishness that is possessing our lives in any way, in the name of Jesus, I bind this power now in Jesus' name. every spirit of foolishness. Yes. Telling me this girl is a fool. You'll be anointed with oil. You'll be prayed for. You'll carry a mantle. Everything. But when it comes to practical wisdom, to marry somebody whom practically God is giving to you, you see that that is the one thing. Many times I've heard it in my ear. This is a fool. And it's a spirit of a fool. It's true. Begin to bind it in your life right now. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of practical wisdom.
Yes,
practical wisdom. Practical receive wisdom. It now.
I receive,
receive
it.
It now.
I receive it.
Receive it now.
I receive it.
Receive it now.
I receive it.
Practical wisdom.
Yes.
Practical wisdom.
Yes.
Begin to thank God for practical wisdom.
I thank you, Lord.
Practical wisdom for your life.
Wisdom for my
for
life.
Your future.
My future.
For your days. Practical
days.
Wisdom.
Yes.
Practical wisdom.
Yes.
Phronimos.
Yes.
Phronimos.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Practical.
Yes. I receive it. Realistic wisdom. Yes. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lift your hands. Let's worship the Lord. Sunday mornings are helping our lives practically. I believe it. I believe it. Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. It's time for testimonies. Do it better for the Lord. As you clap, you are receiving a testimony of your own in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 6, that keep them and do them, for this is your wisdom in the sight of all the nations. Hallelujah. If we can listen to what we are told in church, God is going to do powerful things in our lives. Amen. Our first testimony is from our brother Jeffrey from the Otong Global Center. He says that by listening to the words he heard in church and by following the wisdom of the house, he came out top of his class. Put your hands together for Jesus. Jeffrey, tell us, what has God done for you?
Hallelujah. I want to give God all the glory and thank him for making me the best in my class.
Wow. Amen. Tell us about it. How did it happen?
Last year, I enrolled for an MPhil program, University of Ghana. During that time, I think 3 weeks later, a friend in church advised me and encouraged me to join in the Bas Center system. So I listened to his advice and joined the Okpoglo Bas Center and worked under Pastor Eric Lamte. So during that time, I went to Okpoglo from Tuesday to Sunday. Every evening, I found myself at Okpoglo doing something, visiting people, checking up on people, outreaching to people. One day, a friend in my class, called me intentionally. So when I picked up the call, he asked me, "Why are you?" Because he knew that I always went to Okpoglo every evening. He said, "Why are you?" I said, "I'm at Okpoglo." Then he just brought up a mockery laughter. He decided to laugh on top of his voice. And I hugged up on him because I was very, very bored for what he did. During the examination, I then remembered the practical wisdom that our prophet made us know.
The wisdom of scholarism, the wisdom of magic,
the wisdom of all-night learning. So I employed all this wisdom, and the exam was written successfully. Earlier this semester, when the lecturers came, when we started having our lectures, the lecturers came in complaining that the general performance of the students was very poor. And I was afraid because I really knew what I wrote, and I didn't really write that much. But one day, one lecturer called me, I think last 3 weeks or so, he called me, and then he said, "You did so well in your examinations. And you came out the best in the class.
The best student.
In the class.
In the entire class.
In the entire
How
class.
How many people are in the class?
We are 13.
Wow.
But I didn't believe him because there was already one guy who was tipped to be the best in the class. And not the lecturers liked him so much. But as I stand here, I could tell you that I was the best in the class. And the lecturers are beginning to like me. Those who didn't even like me.
Wow. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Keep them and do them.
They are talking to me. And every time they are making me, they are checking up on me and making sure that I'm very okay. So I want to encourage all of us
that
as our prophet is giving us the opportunity to do something for the Lord. The Lord didn't ask me for 10,000 Ghana cedis. I couldn't have done that. But I gave the Lord my time. And then now as I stand here, my pastor leader to Pongolo, passing people to church, receiving to heaven, and also receiving head, and makes me understand the sermon of "You shall serve and he shall
bless." Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus?
I want to thank the Lord for what he has done for me.
That's a blessing. Put your hands together for him. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Hallelujah. And our second testimony is from our brother Martin Luther from Adoba Bas Center. Put your hands together for Jesus as we welcome him to share his testimony.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Martin, what has God done for you?
Back then in Nigeria, I was a serious fornicant. And to the extent that I had two girls at the time, one to my left and one to my right on the bed.
Yes.
In level 100, when I came to Legon, and level 200, I moved to Pentagon Hostel. And everything, every bad thing I've ever done, I escalated. I started smoking, drinking, doing drugs, and a lot of things. So on a Wednesday evening, I was going to my room after planning a party with my friends. And a young man tapped me from behind. He said his name was Pastor Isaac Hageman. And he said he wanted to talk to me about Jesus. I allowed him. And he led me to Christ. He asked me a question that, if I'm to die now, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? And I told him that I'm going to hell because I'm going to a party that night.
Yes.
So he prayed for me. He made me give my life to Christ. And I still went for the party that same night. During Pentagon Hall Weeks, I will organize a tent. And I'll make people to come and smoke, drink, and eat shawarma. And I was making a lot of money out of it. So, because of how the church, he kept on taking me to church. He kept on taking me to church, giving me messages to listen to. And because of the effect of the church in my life, when last year my brother came to first year, and I made him join the church, that the church has really helped me and have made me a better person. Right now, I'm a pastoral leader.
You are what?
I came to church, I'm a pastoral leader.
You are what?
I'm a pastoral
leader. Oh, why are you sitting down like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Give the Lord the glory. Hallelujah. You're a Bas Center leader.
I'm a Bas Center leader.
So the things you used to do, do you still do them?
I don't do them anymore.
Do you smoke?
I don't smoke.
Do you drink?
I don't drink.
Where is the girl that was on your right and the girl that is on your left?
I don't know where they are.
You don't know where they are. Give the Lord a shout of praise. I see God changing your life too in Jesus' name.
Amen.
After you are born again, you have to fellowship so that you will experience a great change. Is that what happened to you?
Yes. So wow. By the grace of God, I kept on coming to church and my life has never been the same. If my life was able to change, Martin Luther was able to change all the way from Nigeria. I believe that no matter what you are doing, God will also can. God is changing your life as you continue fellowshipping.
Oh, why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? I think we have a lot of preachers today. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Our next testimony is coming from our brother Foster Bwedi from Mucho. Put your hands together for him. Foster, what has God done for you?
I would like to give God the glory for a great change I experienced in my life when I joined the First Love Church and through the messages of our daddy, Bishop Dagwood Mills. Before I entered the university, I was smoking. Yeah, I could really smoke, chasing ladies all around, drinking, and...
You don't believe it. I also don't believe it. Yeah.
Amen. So, when I entered the university, I was in level 100, I was on campus, but there were a lot of restrictions, so I had to move out.
There were a lot of restrictions on the campus.
Yes, you couldn't allow girls into your room, you couldn't smoke, it was really
so
tight.
So you moved out of the campus?
Yes, I moved out of the campus, and I went into an apartment where we were only two Ghanaians, and the rest were Nigerians, who were smokers and drug addicts. At a point, you could wake up one morning, you could feel that the whole place is cloudy. Very bad people.
Let's see.
Yeah, so one day, I was going to visit a friend who I was going to smoke with. And I met a lady who was in the same apartment. And she told me that daddy will be coming, I think, the following Sunday. So I had to join them.
Central University. For
so
a service.
Joined. Yes, please. So I joined, but then I gave my life. Daddy preached about tithing. I gave my life to Christ. But still, it got worse. I didn't join the church. So level 200, I moved into a different apartment where I met Pastor Kuma. There was a church there.
There was another First Love Church there.
First Love Church.
May there be a First Love Church in every hostel in Jesus' name. He said he moved to another apartment and there was a First Love Church.
Yes. So there was an elder there who used to come around every Sunday. So at the point I decided that either I leave on a Saturday or I bring in a lady on that Sunday morning so that he cannot come for me. So during the long back, I was walking around in my living room one day at home, and a thought occurred to me that I should download a message. And I just logged on the internet and I found two messages by daddy. That's how to be a special servant of God in the presence of God. But I think after a week, I was there one morning when I woke up around 6 a.m. and I decided to listen to how to become a special servant of God. I don't remember what I really heard, but after the message, I began to cry. I just began to cry. And I sent one of the elders a message who used to come for me that when I return, I'll join the church.
Wow.
But then when I came back, I changed my mind again and I moved out of the apartment.
You moved to another?
Yes, a different one because I had different plans. But when I got to that apartment, surprisingly, there was another First Love.
There was another First Love church. Are you sitting there like that? We are going everywhere. No place will be able to hold us out. You are the next person to become a Basenta leader.
So that Sunday, the first Sunday of the week, I was actually preparing to visit the campus church and I heard a knock. So when I opened, I saw a fine gentleman who turned out to be my classmate, and that was Elder Viana.
Elder Viana?
Yes. And
wow.
He said he wants me to join the church. I told him I can't join today, but I'm hoping to join them the following Sunday. So when I came, I didn't join them. So the following Sunday, that Wednesday, I joined the midweek service and he preached from daddy's book, Duality.
Wow.
Yes, I remember. He preached from Duality and the message hit me. So I was sitting at the back and it hit me so hard that I changed. I decided to change and stay in that same church.
Wow.
Which was in my apartment.
Wow.
Yes, and I used to go there and smoke.
And have you experienced the great change today?
I've experienced a great change, and by God's grace, I'm a Basenta leader.
You are also a Basenta leader. Hey! God is making Basenta leaders out of weed smokers. Receive a testimony too in Jesus' name.
And now I smoke no more. I don't chase ladies. I don't drink. Like it does not even occur to me.
Wow.
It does not even occur to me. And I want to thank God so much. Maybe you are here, you find yourself in worse situation than mine. I want to encourage you that you are in the right place and God has the power to change you. Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Wow, what a blessing.
And Elder Viana, God bless you so much.
Wow. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. And our final testimony is coming from from Mr. Solomon Odame. He's our pastor overseer in East Lagos. Oh, put your hands together for him. Mr. Odame, has God been good to you? Tell us about it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to thank God for the great change he has made in my life. Last 2 weeks, when people were here saying, talking about great change, I heard the Lord telling me that you are very ungrateful. I've done a lot for you. So within that week, I went home from outreach very late, and I saw there was a movie on TV, and somebody was driving, and whilst on the road, he saw something else. Then a thought occurred to me that this has happened to you before. Then I remembered one day I was drunk, because I used to drink a lot. My wife always complains, praying for me to change my life. In fact, sometimes on Sunday, I had to trace how I got home.
Mercy.
Because I don't know how I got home.
And what happened to you, Mr. Solomon?
And
you couldn't tell how you got home.
No, I sometimes sit down on Sunday morning to trace how I was able to drive home. But I still couldn't have done it. But sometimes I can't tell my wife because she will get angry. So I just keep quiet.
Wow.
Then the day that I remembered, I saw that I was drunk and I was driving home. But as I was driving, I couldn't see the road. I saw a bush.
Only bushes.
Only bushes.
The road in front. Mr. Solomon Adame is describing his old lifestyle. He said he used to drink so much so that the road would change into a bush. It's a level. But if you can change, you can change too in Jesus' name. And what happened to you? How did your life change?
My life changed when, on that particular day, I shaked my head. It's like I saw that, no, I'm driving, I should see a road, but I'm seeing a forest. I shaked my head. The road wasn't coming back. So it was the third time that I saw the road. Then I told, I was driving, and my brother was sitting by me. So I told my brother that I cannot drive. He should take off over the steering. And he said, why? But you are driving okay. I said, no, you don't know what I've seen. I beg, I cannot drive. So I sat by him. But fortunately, though at that time I wasn't in First Love Church, I had a lot of daddy's messages, and I put one of the messages in. Then it spoke about alcohol. Then he mentioned that alcohol is Satan in water or devil in water.
Devil in solution.
Devil in solution.
That's right.
So then a lot started occurring to me that, Master, if you don't change this life, you will die before your time. So most of the time, if I write a letter to daddy, I tell him that I should have been in prison or I should be dead.
Wow.
Because from what I've gone through in life and with alcohol, I didn't know that today, as my pastor was saying, I'm an overseer bringing people to church. I never thought about it.
And how did the change begin in your life? You said somebody invited you.
The change began when I met Pastor Danso at the Kodesh. I used to go and buy books all the time. But when I met him, he said, oh, Chale, you can come. I said I was looking for the Makane, because I heard LP Lulu in one of the messages facing some elders for not having the Makane. Then, though I wasn't in the church, but I said, then I have to go and find the Makane.
And you met Pastor Danso?
And I met Pastor Danso, and he said, I should come to Legon campus, but he will find it for me. So on Legon campus, he said, oh, then this is my small church in the kitchen, but you can come and visit us. I said, oh, no problem. So on Wednesdays, I used to go there in the evening. Then gradually, one Sunday, I took two of my boys, my children, and we went to see. And he was even surprised that I'll come to church in the kitchen where there's only some few people. But gradually, a lot changed in my life. And I remember...
So do you still drink?
No. I don't even have the lottery. It doesn't even occur to me.
You don't even have the time.
I don't even
have the time. On Saturday, when you have a bus to fill tomorrow morning, I don't think you'll like to be seeing bushes in front of you. Give the Lord a shout of praise. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that we all with open face, as we behold the glory of the Lord, as in the glass, we are changed. Everybody receives a change as they come into the presence of the Lord. And today, as you are here, you are receiving a great change. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
Father, thank you for the blessing of today as you guide us by your mighty spirit. We are grateful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, today I'm going to share with you 7 great principles for a peculiar life. Peculiar. Now, I've given you a lot of 7 great principles. Some are for what? One is for what? 7 great principles for what? For salvation. 7 great principles for salvation. 7 great principles for spiritual growth. 7 great principles for a great change. And 7 great principles for a supernatural life. And today, it's not a supernatural life. It's not a great change. It's not spiritual growth. It's not salvation. It's a peculiar life. For a peculiar life. Now, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity." Actually, all Christians should know this verse by heart from Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. Let's try to memorize, all of us try to memorize this verse. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto us, teaching us." Okay? All right. "Then who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. So today, the main thing is the word peculiar. What does peculiar mean? That is what God is doing for us. We are being made strange, odd. So what does peculiar mean? Number one, it means markedly different. Markedly different from the usual. So you are being made different from the usual. You are not just being saved, but you are being saved and made into a peculiar people, or markedly different from the usual. Peculiar people means also unique. Unique. And special. All right? So, you are being made unique and special. So, your life is going to be markedly different from the usual. And it's going to be different from the usual. How many want your life to be different from the usual? In a good way. Amen. Alright? So, that is very important. And then, another meaning is, it means odd. Odd or curious. There are going to be some odd things, oddities, strange, peculiar, strange, odd, curious. Okay? All these words are words. And Mr. Dictionary Man up there, if you give us peculiar, we'll be happy. From your special dictionary that you have there. All right? Yes. Unusual, singular, rare, strange. So you are going to be rare. Your type will be rare, like you'll be an unusual. Everybody will not be a virgin, but you'll be a virgin. Everybody will be bad, but you'll be good. All right? So you're going to be strange. Now, principle number one. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person, all right, with distinctive blessings. And I want that to be the first principle so that we move on to the other things that bring the blessings. A peculiar person with distinctive blessings. All right, you are set apart. Amen. To be a distinctive person, a peculiar person with distinctive blessings. Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse 14. Malachi chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "You have said it is vain to serve the Lord. And what profit it is that we have kept his ordinances." All right? "And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord. Now we call the proud happy." Verse 16. "Then they that fear the Lord speak one to another. And a book of remembrance was opened." Verse 17. "And they shall be mine." You see, this is what God is saying about you, says the Lord. "In the day that I make up my jewels, I will spare them." So God is seeing you as a jewel. And he's going to spare you or exempt you from many, many evils. Look at this young boy who was giving a testimony. He was in a room that the whole room is cloudy. When they wake up, the whole room, there's no cloud outside, but there's cloud inside. An atmosphere. But not only is there going to be a great change in his life, not only is he going to grow spiritually, not only is he going to have salvation or experience the supernatural, but going to become peculiar. Yeah. And one of the peculiarities is blessings. Yes. God, one of the blessings is he will spare you. And verse 18, "And you shall return and descend between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." So you are going to have certain blessings that characterize you. Now, if you look at the people that serve God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them was poor. No, nobody who has ever served God is poor. True. From the Bible, David, Solomon. David's blessing was so much that he gave so much towards the house of God. Solomon actually just used the offerings that his father gave. Abraham was very rich. Isaac was very, they envied him. The Philistines envied him. You'll be envied. Amen. Jacob, I mean, that's Israel. Israel today, Jacob. His name was changed to Israel, a prince. And he was blessed. He had many children, prospered, became a large nation. Even that you even become a nation of children. His 12 children, you know, all of them, different things, you know. And it was an amazing thing. He was taken to Egypt, you know, and they were preserved in a special place. He was preserved in a special place. And, you know, they came out of Egypt as like 2 million people, you know, from one man, one man's family. Yeah. That's not a small thing. And up till today, they are the most stable country now in the Middle East. This May 14, they are celebrating 70 years since they became a nation after being dispersed for 2,000 years. That itself is a miracle. Yeah. I don't think if Ghans were dispersed or Ashantis were dispersed into the whole world after for 2,000 years, whether you can find us again. Because, do you know that Ghans, I hear we come from Nigeria. Yes, and there are a lot of Ghan words which sound like Yoruba words. And then they say we also come from Brazil. Oh, you don't know that? Yes. You see, but we can't even find ourselves. And here we also come from Israel. Yes. So So if you are a guy, you will know, you will hear all these things. Amalekites. Ni Ammon. Ammonites. I don't know. All right. So, you are marked out for blessings. Yes. Distinctive blessings. And it's one of the things that would characterize your life. Do you believe it and receive it? Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Look at it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. It's a beautiful, it's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You see, serving God is going to lead to the abundance of all things. Yes. So you are marked out for blessings. Amen. Receive those blessings in Jesus' name. So that's why we sing the song, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. Abraham's blessings are mine. So the blessings are very big. And so that is going to be one of the things that characterize your life. Blessings of all types. In Jesus' name. Amen. Principle number two. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person with a peculiar life by physical separation from unbelievers. All right. After you are born again, are you writing it that way? You can even make your own book of seven great principles. After I give you all these principles, you can make your own book because I've given you all the points. Yes. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person with a, okay, write it this way, a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life by physical separation from unbelievers. Physical. You'll be physically separated from unbelievers. That is one of the ways you will become peculiar. What do I mean by that? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, and we are reading to verse, it says, be not unequal. Have you got the second principle, right? Say it out, everybody. Principle number two, after you are born again, set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life by physical separation. Anybody here who does not believe, huh? Bad company ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company ruins good morals. Once you are in the company of evil people, it affects you whether you want it to affect you or not. This is just how it is. You don't have to say you are whatever. It affects you. Okay? So 2 Corinthians 6:14, if you want the peculiar, unusual, that is also something. You see, I'm saying this one is different from a great change. This one is, you are going to become distinctive and actually a little strange. Yes. And if you don't want to be a little strange, you have to resign today. Check with your neighbor whether he's resigning. Are you resigning or you are staying? Waba wabia, isn't it? This is the time you must say, waba wabia. Waba wabs. Now, what does it say? Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship? You see, we are in the world. But what type of fellowship can righteousness and unrighteousness have? Let's be serious. Show me your friend, I'll show you your future. Show me your friend, I'll show you your character. Show me your friend. Who is your friend? Who are your friends? I say, show me your friend, I'll show you both your character and your future. What kind of fellowship can there be between believers and unbelievers? Zero. Look, I have no unbeliever friends. I have unbeliever acquaintances. People I know. I have no unbeliever friends. I see, they are my friends, my paddy. Since I was born again, I changed all my friends. I know you can't help being this way without knowing unbelievers. I know plenty, but I have no fellowship with any unbeliever. He's asking, what fellowship? The answer is no fellowship. What communion? Communion that we are flowing together and talking closely and deeply. Young lady, a man is talking to you, somebody who is not saved, is rapping you. I love you, baby. Hi, baby. And you are listening. You are in great danger. Verse 15. What concord has Christ with Belial? What concord means? What does concord mean? Huh? Agreement. Accord. What do you have in common? What part has he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16. What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? All these questions, the answer is nothing. Serious question. The temple of God with idols. How? God's temple, and you have a legba or a kind of something you are worshiping here. Let's be serious. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore, are you listening? Come out from among them. Come out from. You can't even have roommates who are unbelievers. I'm telling you. There are certain people, when you realize you are in this room, you have to change your room. Now, where is the young man who was changing his rooms? You were changing apartments.
Yes, please. Right.
For what reason?
At a point, I needed my room because we were two in a room. So I actually needed one in a room to be alone so that I can bring in ladies and smoke.
Let the young man finish so that you can bring what?
Ladies and smoke as well alone. I wanted to have my freedom.
To bring in a lady or ladies?
Ladies, daddy.
At what age? Come this way. You were how old?
Actually, when I started smoking, I was about 20. Yeah.
And the ladies you were bringing, you were how old when you were bringing these ladies? Because of that.
18. As before, in SHS and all, I was sleeping with ladies.
So you see, what I'm preaching, you are a liar. Wait, you are a liar and a hypocrite if you don't agree with my preaching. Because here is somebody 18 years old, he's changing his room because he wants to bring girls, plural, and he wants to smoke, plural, also plural, in his room. Huh? To create a cloud, not a cloud of glory. It needs space. And I'm preaching to you that you cannot, you may have to even move out of the room. And some of you are looking at me with three eyes as though, oh, how can I say that you should move out of the room, and what is wrong with staying in the room? You are a hypocrite, I'm telling you. When you are going to be a peculiar familiar person, there are some decisions you have to make. And say, you know, I can't be with you. I can't. I can't be in the same car with you. I can't be in the same house with you. I can't be in the same room with you. What agreement do we have? We don't flow on almost every topic. I can meet you in class. I can meet you in town. I can meet you in at work or whatever. But I can't have my room, my fellowship, my relaxing time. You are present with me. How? No concord, no part. Come out from among them and be separate. Look, one of the things I've learned is that to be a Christian is to be separate. Yeah. You have to be separate from the others. Yeah. And if you don't want to be separate, it's unto you. Maybe you have not met Jews, eh? Look, Jews, you see, all this particular peculiar thing, the best group is to just look at Jews. Yeah. That's how they are. Sit down. Jews. They are always separate. That is how come they were able to locate them after 2,000 years. Go to London. They are in Hendon. There's an area called Golders Green in Hendon. Yeah, you see that. You'll be there. Father, open the door for that young man to actually go to London in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Look. London, they are separate. Germany. That is how come Hitler was able to identify all of them. They took them from every country. Czechoslovakia, Poland, Germany, France. They went to France. All Jews. We know them. They are always separate. Always separate. They are things. They have their own schools. They have their own families. They marry themselves. You know, one day I was on a flight from Australia. That's a long way. And I sat by a lady who was a Jew. Yeah. That's when I found out more. She said, She said, though, you know, I'm a Jew. We have our own school. She went to her own school. They have their own families. They have their own interaction. They live in their own areas. Yes. Come on. I always are different. Come out, be separate. Yeah. You have to realize that to be a Christian is not a small thing. Look, when you flow with family, you see, right now in Ghana, part of our culture is stealing. It's become cultural. So that it's almost part of the normal practice to steal, to cheat, to do whatever. If you are with everybody who has got a poor for this exam, and you alone, the questions are there. You say, oh, I won't look at it. You've closed your eyes, I won't look at it. As they are going through the questions, what do you think? Will it not be a very strong temptation for you? Very strong. But if you are with people who don't, and all those who see up, they don't do well in school. I don't know why they don't do well. Yeah, I don't know why. They don't do well. Yeah. People who have a part, they don't do well. Those who don't have a part, the ones who do well, still. They always do better. Yes. Yeah. So if you are not physical, well, do you understand the word physical? Physically separate. Why do you think God told Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, he said, come out from your family, come out from your kindred, come out from your father's house to a place I will show you. This is my first beginning to bless you and make you a strangely blessed person, was to come out from certain groups. Please, if you will not accept this, then I'm so sorry, you can't have the distinctive blessings that come with it. Yeah. To be a Christian is to be a strange person. Yes, your everything is different. Your music is different. Your music, to be spiritual. You see the music we are playing is spiritual music. It is holy music. Yes. It's anointed. When you listen, you see that you become spiritual by the time the songs are over. It's spiritual. It's not just, then you say Jesus once. No. No. Your houses, your families, your children, the people, come out from among them. Come out. Be separate. Don't joke with this particular one. Yes. And many things will make you odd, but you have to accept it. Yeah. Number three. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person. It's always the same phrase. You are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life by your pure and holy lifestyle. Yes. By your what? Your pure and holy lifestyle. Now, so after you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life, a distinctive, strange life by your pure and holy lifestyle. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You has he quickened who were dead in sins and trespasses, wherein in times past, you did what? You walked according to the course of this world. And what? According to the prince of the power of the, which is a demon. The spirit which works in the children of disobedience. Disobedient spirit, people have spirit. So you were disobedient and you walked by the power of demons. And what did you do when you walked by the power of demons? Look at verse 3. Among whom we all had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our minds. This is how it is to be an unbeliever. He says, we were all like this. You, when you desire, you do. It's called DD, desire and do. You feel like it, you do it. It comes to your mind, you do it. Yes. How many have ever done what you desired? Raise your hand. Is there any angel sitting by you who is not doing, who is not raising the hand? We want to identify them. So immediately after church, all angels should see me after church. Now, the more of an unbeliever you are, the more you fulfill all that you think about. When you look at a girl walking by, you think of something, you just fulfill your desires. Like it comes to your mind, both your mind and your flesh. It's just not your flesh. Oh. Also in the mind, like thoughts come to you. When the thought comes, you say, oh, I will do this. And you do it fully.
Receive it.
But the difference is that when you are born again, and you are going to be peculiar. To be peculiar, your sexuality will always be different. Listen, if there is no difference between you sexually, then you have not attained a peculiar lifestyle. Yes, status. Yes. There will be a difference in your sexuality and your sexual practices. Yeah. Because that will also make you strange. Because to sleep with someone is like shaking hands. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, shake hands with you. And then shake with another person too. And then behind also, shake behind also. Uh-huh. That is like sex. So that is how come HIV, that's how come HIV has spread. How do you think it spread? It's like shaking hands. I shake hands with you, only you use a different part to shake. Mercy. Are you listening?
Yes.
But why? How do you think HIV can spread to the whole? And I hear it's really rising in Ghana. Yes, I hear it's coming. It's going to hit South African levels. Yeah. Yes. Because there's a lot of handshakes. And it's, you know, one day I went to a church and the pastor told me, he said to me, 35% of my members have HIV. He told me that he gave me the year, said in this year's time, 1/3 of my members will be dead. Yes. The pastor told me. Yeah. So it's the normal. You see, fornication is not abnormal in the world, it's rather normal. Yeah. So now the strangeness is going to come. It's one of the places, it's in that area. And homosexuality is also spreading like a fire. Yeah. So, if you can't attain that, you've not attained peculiar status. You have to fight. You have to do whatever it is, even standing on your head. Yeah. Because it is rather what is normal. You know, one day somebody said to me, "I have never seen an unbeliever man who is faithful to his wife before." That's what he said. Why will you be faithful? They will give you a spanner. I cannot eat granola soup every day. He said, I cannot eat granola soup every day. Sometimes I have to get light soup. Sometimes palm nut soup. They have even their own sayings. So, tell your neighbor, you need to gain some peculiarity down there. In Jesus' name. Hey! Now, without this peculiarity, don't expect the peculiar blessings. Yeah, because it's all a package. Now, principle number 4. After you are born again, you do what? You are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people by your keeping of the Sabbath. Yeah, the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath, which for the purposes of the service, Sabbath is the day that you set aside for God and for rest and for God. Whether Saturday, Sunday, that is not the point. In Israel, it's Saturday. When you go to Israel, you'll see. Yeah. Nothing works on Saturday. Even the lift is programmed. It just goes. Every floor, it stops and opens. Because to press the lift is work. Listen, one thing which has made Jews most peculiar in the whole world is the Sabbath. Up till today. If you go to New York to work in a law firm, they don't work on Saturdays, but they work on Sundays. A Sunday is a working day. And if you like, you don't work. Because I had a pastor once who couldn't work on the Sunday. And that was the reason why, even at a point, he had to leave. He said, no, Sunday I have to go. And day to Saturday, they can't do it. Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak thou also to the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that sanctify you. Amen. You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. And everyone that defileth it shall be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. You know, one day somebody was advising me. He said to me, you have to rest. As a pastor, an older pastor. And he told me, he said to me, somebody once gave him advice. He said the person was advising him to rest. And then he had never thought of it, but the person told him that the punishment for no Sabbath is death. The punishment for no Sabbath is death. Yeah. And he was using it to explain that no rest can lead to death. And it is true. And no, not enough sleep can also lead to death. So, the Sabbath, which is marked out for God, he says it shall be holy to the Lord. Very important. You see, Sunday, some of you get job on Sunday, you are doing this or doing that. And of course, sometimes we have church on different days. Now, church day, you are doing something. Oh yeah, you know, nowadays, you know, we are busy. We are busy. Yeah. I was very sad when they once held an election. They said they are doing the election on Sunday because Sunday we are not doing anything. Leviticus 23:27. And also on the 10th day of the seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. And you shall do no work in the day of atonement. And you shall, verse 31, do no manner of work. It shall be a statute throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. Everybody, Sabbath of rest. Yes. So Sabbath is not just a day. But he was now talking about a period which was actually a time of rest. Now, as we are here, we are resting from our work. Whatever work we do. It's a rest. And it's also a season for holy to God. Holy means special for God. This thing is special for God. Yes, it's special for God. Now, let us look at how the apostles and even Jesus, what did they do on the Sabbath day? In Acts chapter 13, verse 14. This is what marks out. You know, when you go to England right now, almost everybody in England is in the house. Yes. Are you not from England? What do they do on Sundays? Say again.
They sit at home and watch football.
Sit at home and watch football. If you like, go to England. Sunday morning. You see, that's where you see people have departed from God. Sunday. You are any country you are in, look at Sunday. Look at the Sabbath. You see, that's the sign. That's the sign. It's always a sign. What's happening on Sunday morning? Or whether Saturday, Sunday, whether Monday, whatever the day is. Because in Dubai, they go to church on Fridays. Yeah, church is on Fridays. They don't go to work on Sunday. Because, you know, in Israel, Friday is Muslim, Saturday is Jews, Sunday is Christians. Yeah. Everybody has his day. But Dubai is a Muslim country, so it's Friday. Everybody, so church is done on Fridays. Yeah. But if you want to know where people have departed from God, look at their behavior on Sunday. In England, sometimes, there are times that I've been in England on Sunday morning, I just start to pray for the people. Nobody, not even one person is stepping anywhere to church. It's pathetic. Nobody goes anywhere to no church. Everybody is in his house sleeping or they watch football. That's the sign. That is why your life must be character, and your children, yourself, your life must be character. But this particular day is holy unto God. That's what, I don't joke with Sunday. Sunday, I've dashed the whole Sunday to God. Yes. And I can tell you, even students, whatever, if you dash Sunday to God, it's a sign to God of who you are. And you'll do well in your school. Even you see that it even helps your brain to work better. I thank God I've been to school. I did better courses than most of you. Yes, with better grades. Now you've done some small diploma and then you're saying you're in the university. 2 years diploma. Acts 13. Now, this is who? Peter. Oh, yes. But when they departed to Perga, they came to Antioch and they went, Paul, they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You see, Sabbath day, they were going to church on the Sabbath day. And they sat down. And after reading the law and the prophets, so you read scriptures. This is how to practice the Sabbath. The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Shankom. Verse 16. And Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, he said, men of Israel, ye that fear God, give audience. And he started to preach. Kabashakabaya.
Receive it.
He said, this is what to do on a Sabbath day. You enter the synagogue and all the people are there. Reading of the law, reading of the prophet, and then sharing an exhortation. So if I find you, who do you think are sleeping this morning, Sunday morning? Those in school who are sleeping. It's from yesterday night. Hangovers, drugs, godless, people who don't fear God. So that's the sign. It's one of the signs of a strange person. Say, Sunday, you will not find me in my room. No. You find me in the house of God. You're looking for me? Tell you, find me in the house of God. You find me serving God. You find me worshiping. You find me going to church, wherever I am. You know, one day I was speaking to a pastor. He told me, you know, I'm so happy to meet you. He's from another country. He said, this man is in my church. He's the richest men in Africa. And he said, oh, he's coming to Ghana, some mining, something. And he told me when he comes, he will come to church. He said, it's not like those type of rich people. It's Sunday, they don't go. He said, Sunday, he will be there. Billionaire, he's one of the top richest from South Africa. He said, he will come to your church. He'll be there. But I was looking at him, but I was thinking, I'm sure he was thinking what I was thinking. He's a rich man, and so he will not come to church. You know, they say, well, you have a meeting. As if we have not had meetings before. How meeting is going on during church time? And that is why on Sunday, we are patient to be here, whether it is 9 hours, 7 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours. We are patient to stay in the house of God. Acts chapter 13, verse 27. Let's read 26 and 27. Men and brethren, this was still Paul preaching, of the stock of Abraham. Whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor did they know the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. They didn't know the voice of the prophet, which are read every Sabbath day. So every Sabbath they were in the house of God reading the prophets. That's the Sabbath. That's how even the Jews practice the Sabbath. We are going to the house of God to read the prophets, the laws, and the word of God to ourselves. That's the Sabbath. It's holy unto the Lord. We don't do secular work. We don't do anything on Sunday. We go to work and we rest. That's all. Are you still around? Or you are leaving? Yes. Amen. Sabbath is belonging to Jesus, to God. Sabbath is belonging to the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, verse 14, returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame. Verse 15. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16. Now he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Where what? Where he had been brought up. And what did he do? And he went into the synagogue as his custom was. Jesus Christ's lifestyle. That was his custom. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Oh, you are not reading the Bible with me. Yeah, he was a church man. Sabbath day is church. And he went into the Sabbath day, synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. Then what did he read? Continue, 17. And there was delivered to him the book Isaiah, and he found the place where it was written. I think everybody could just preach. I think they were like, anybody who feels you can share something, you share it. So they gave him the book, and he opened it, and then he read it. And they were all looking at him. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance is by preaching, not even prayer, it's by preaching. He preached deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year. They were looking at him. Then he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 21. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Wow. He said, it's happening practically now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And you see, when was this? It was on the Sabbath day. It was his custom. He was reading the scriptures, preaching. That's where you should be on a Sabbath day. And it must be your lifestyle. It's your custom. Some of you don't usually go to church. As you are here, you are saying, Charlie, today you are lucky, pa, that I have come to the church. Like you won't get me to come to the church. But from today... You see, and this is the difference. This is where we see the difference. Yes, that's a sign. Do you know any girls who are in the house? Are there girls? You know girls? There are some girls who don't go to church. Girls, raise your hand. You know girls who are not in church. Look at them. All these girls know some girls who are not in church. So there are ladies. So you see them, young ladies. Today, I'm preaching. They are nowhere. They don't go to any church. And I want to say that our church is half full because we are supposed to be 10,000 people. And only half have come. Half are sleeping in their rooms. Half are not in church. Half are resting. Some are waking up now, seeing bushes instead of roads. What is principle number one? After you are born again. Put it up. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar, no person among peculiar people with distinctive blessing. Amen. Principle number two. Let's read it. After you are born again. With a peculiar life. By physical separation from unbelievers. Principle number three. With a peculiar life, by your keeping of pure and holy life. Okay. Principle number four. You are set apart to become a peculiar. Everybody say, among peculiar people with a peculiar life. Principle number five. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life by the motivation of your life. The motive of your life has changed. Yes, and you'll always be strange. What is the motive of your life? To seek God. Yes. Look at Matthew 6, 32. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. You see, when you are a Gentile, you will be seeking things. But the difference between me and somebody who doesn't know God is that I'm not seeking those things. That's not the motive of my life. The motive of my life, the motivation of my life is to seek God. Yes, because I know God. I found God. I found him, new life in Jesus Christ. Love and peace, joy and hope, all in Jesus Christ. So now, the reason for my life is not... It's different. That's one of the differences. It's what is in your heart. I'm a doctor, but I'm seeking God. I'm a lawyer, but I'm seeking God. I'm a businessman, but I'm seeking God. I'm a politician, but I'm seeking God. Everything about me is different because of what I'm seeking. Look, once you have a different motive, your life is different. If I was looking for money, I would not be pastoring children. I'll be pastoring Obontius. Who sell cutting materials and iron rods? Importers of chicken and frozen meat. What do you think? I don't think anybody here is importing chicken. You consume the chicken, but you don't import it. So that is the difference. You know, and it's so sad to see Christians who don't accept the peculiarities that God gives us. They don't accept to be separate. So I want to be with them. They don't accept to have a different reason for all that you are doing. So I want power. I want this. I want that. And you also don't get it. Churches are full of pastors prophesying these things and people don't have it. Put on the television and you see somebody prophesying money, car, house, shoes, blessing, this, that. Standard. Pastors we are almost as though we are providing, as if we are social security service or something. Insurance policies. But I will tell you, don't aim for, to have an aim to be rich is a bad motive. Yeah. Don't aim to be rich. Aim to seek after God. For your Father knows that all these things to the Gentiles seek. And he knows that you need car, house, money, school fees, children. He knows it. Hey, God is a very practical God. Very, very practical God. Look, I've been a pastor in this similar church for more than 25 years. I've watched people, most people don't attain those things. Most people just survive. through life. Attaining certain heights, it's from God. Prosperity will never come from salary. Salary is a very difficult thing to prosper on. Maybe you don't know. You can write it somewhere and see. God is going to provide for you. And the reason and the motive for your life is going to change. Principle number one, quickly. Principle number one, after you are born again. Hey, where is it? Where's the screen? Screen has gone off. Wow, something happened. Okay, how many principles do you have? Principle number six. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person by your service, peculiar service to God. Yes, by serving God. When people see your service, then they know you are God's servant. Then you see that you are always different. Yeah. Do you want to be someone who is known as the greatest supporter of NDC or the greatest supporter of the church? Or the greatest supporter of NPP or the greatest supporter of the church? Yeah. Yes. Nigeria is PDP, APC. The greatest supporter of PDP and the greatest supporter of APC. The one who gave so much money to APC. PDP. Your service to God will mark you out. Principle number seven. After you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people by your peculiar tithing habit. Again, tithing makes you peculiar. Because unbelievers don't give no 10% to no God. For no nothing. And today, you see, these things I'm telling you are the things that characterize Jews. Tithing, Sabbath, peculiar lifestyle. They look different. They are separate. It's the thing that makes you odd. Are the seven things I've given you. The peculiar blessing on Jews, richer than every group on earth. They are the richest group of people on this whole earth. Nobody comes even near them. They are peculiar. They are always separate. They tithe. They keep the Sabbath so strangely. They serve God. Those things mark them out. And they are separate from everybody and distinct. You can't say that about guns. You can't say that about Fantis. You can't say that about Airways. You can't say that about Dagbanis. But you can say that about Jews. Stand to your feet. Principle number one. Everybody read it out, please. Let's go. Ready? Go. After you are born again, to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life, distinctive blessings. Receive them in Jesus' name. Number two. Among peculiar people with a peculiar life by physical separation from unbelief. Congratulate your neighbor on his physical separation from unbelievers. Today, congratulations. You have actually made yourself separate. Number three, principle number three. Born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar with a peculiar life. By your pure and holy life. Congratulate the person also by you again that, Charlie, holiness down there and other things, I'm impressed with all your holiness attempts. You are not bad at all. Tell the person you are not bad at all. And you are distinct from the world. You are distinct from the world. Is it not true? Principle number four. Born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life by your keeping of the Sabbath. How many are going to be like Jesus? Like the apostles? As for Sabbath, no joke. There's a song I don't say, I like Sunday morning, isn't it? Yeah. The reason why I like Sunday morning, isn't it?
Really like Sunday morning. Oh, that's why I really like Sunday morning.
Wow. Principle number five. You are set apart to become a peculiar, among peculiar people, with a peculiar life, by the motivation of your life. Yes, the reason for your life. Is number six, principle number six, after you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar person among peculiar people with a peculiar life by your peculiar service to God. Yes. And principle number seven, after you are born again, you are set apart to become a peculiar among peculiar people with a peculiar life by your peculiar tithing habits. Yes. How many know that unbelievers, Malachi 3:10 talks about tithing. How many know that no unbeliever is going to pay no 10% to no God for no church about no nothing? But you. I said you. You are earmarked by God for special blessings through your peculiar and unusual tithing habits. Very unusual. In my book on tithing, I quote at one point, Jews paid $4 billion tithe to the rabbi in the synagogue. Yeah. Almost half of all billionaires are Jews. More than half of them billionaires. The inventors, everything, they are all Jews. It's unusual. And they have these characteristics. So, I don't want us to ever need to do any fundraising in the church. Just paying your tithes. You see, if Ghana government were to get all the people in Ghana to just pay 10%, you see, God is far more reasonable. You see, human beings are some way. They can tax you 30%, 40%, 50%. But God just said, you just give me 10, keep 90. Yes. Yes. Only 1.5 million people in Ghana pay tax. Yes. Yeah, out of our 20 million. If you could get just 5 million people to pay 10%. Now, God is very wise. So, brothers and sisters, I feel something unusual about you. Yes. And it's going to be a peculiar blessing. You will see the difference between those who serve the Lord and those who serve him not. Lift your hands. Those talking outside, don't talk. I can see you. Don't talk outside. If you are outside, don't talk to anybody, please. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for your blessing for everyone, for turning us into a peculiar people with peculiar blessings. Touch every life in a special way. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here this morning, don't know Jesus as your Savior, and want to give your life to God, Pastor, pray with me. You want to give your life to Jesus and become a peculiar person, a great change, and a peculiar person. If you are here and want me to pray with you, want to give your life to Jesus today, lift your right hand, just your right hand, and come to me. Come from where you are standing. Come all the way. Come on to Jesus. Come. to come. Come by yourself. It's free. If you want Jesus to change you, lift your hands. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you today. I'm sorry for all my sins. Lift your hand and say this prayer. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my life to you today. Please forgive me for all my sins, all my mistakes. I am sorry, Lord Jesus, for all my mistakes. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me today. Please wash away my sins with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, washing me. Say, washing me, cleansing me with the blood of Jesus. Today, I am born again. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I'm giving you one of my books. All right? How many of you came here during the blockbuster movie on Friday night? You are all here. How many of you came forward to give your life to Jesus on Friday? I want to see your hand. You came forward. Lift your hand up high if you came forward. I want to meet with you after church, especially. All those who came forward, there were about 300 of you. And I want to meet all of you who came here, gave your life to Jesus on Friday, this Friday. You came here this Friday? Yes. So after church, I'll meet with them. All right? Father, bless these people. Touch their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. After we close, those of you holding this book, come to this side over here. We are going to talk with you. All right? God bless you. Give them a mighty clap offering as they go back. You may be seated. Take out your communion. And we are going to receive the blessing of the table of the Lord.
Take, amen. Eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Oh yeah, the cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. Oh, it will sustain. It will give you life when I see the blood. Oh, oh, yeah. I will pass over you. I will pass over you when I see the blood. Oh, yeah. I will pass over you.
We thank you, the body of Jesus Christ, as we receive salvation, healing, blessings for everyone that holds this bread. May they be holding their life of salvation, and may their lives be lifted up according to your power, the body of Jesus Christ. This is for your sins, your mistakes, your wickedness, your errors. Father, as we receive this blood, wash away our sins, our mistakes, whatever is poisonous in our lives, let it be neutralized by the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Yes.
Let all forms of wickedness pass over and away from our lives because of the blood of Jesus Christ that is given to us today. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands for your blessing. May you escape from sharks.
Yes, Lord.
Silent killers.
Amen.
May you escape from surprises.
Amen.
Sudden attacks.
Amen.
May you escape from gunshots.
Yes, Lord.
Bullets.
Amen.
Machine guns.
Amen.
Pistols.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
May you escape from knife attacks.
Amen.
Cutlasses and machetes.
Amen.
Be delivered from all forms of harm.
Yes.
Coming against you.
Yes.
Any armed robber planning to come to your house is declared dead today in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. We command the shadow of death to fall upon them now.
Amen.
And we command death to fall upon their dwelling places.
Amen.
Bomb them out, O Lord.
Yes.
Let your curse be upon them in the name of Jesus. May you be raised up by the blessing of the Lord.
I receive it.
I see you standing on a rock.
Prophecy.
You are lifted. Somebody is being lifted and being placed on a rock.
I receive it.
May Jehovah lift your legs out of water, out of mud, out of the miry clay, and place you on a rock to stay.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever is unstable under your life, I curse it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I command stability into your life.
Yes.
Whatever makes you cry, I dismiss it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever destabilizes your life and brings confusion and uncertainty into your life, I banish it from your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
And fallen angels,
yes,
which are trying to enter your compound,
yes,
in the name of Jesus,
yes,
I say no way, no way, no way, no way, no way, no way. I declare divine protection over your life. No evil thing shall come by your dwelling place. No evil thing shall penetrate your compound. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Any far away person,
oh, yes,
who is doing something against you,
oh, yes,
we overturn it in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. Receive a divine covering.
I receive it.
Let the feathers of the Lord cover you.
I receive it.
And keep you.
Yes.
And help you.
Yes.
Throughout these days.
Yes.
By the name of Jesus. Whether it's an anaconda,
oh, yes,
whether a python,
oh, yes,
or a viper,
yes,
or a cobra,
yes,
or an alligator,
yes,
or a shark,
yes,
or a lion,
yes,
you are declared escape. You have escaped. You have escaped. In Jesus' name. By the power of God. Travel safely.
I receive it.
Drive safely.
I
I receive it. Move around safely. I receive it. I said, move around safely. By the power of God in the name of Jesus. May the angel of the Lord be at your right hand side. For every step of the day, every step you take, every day. This week,
yes.
Next week,
yes.
The week after, may the angel of the Lord, I say, angels of the Lord, be by the side of all your children in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, thank you for protection. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for help for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.